People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. There's an exciting festival that's going to be happening in Cape Town in November called Les Amateurs Virtuoses. And in 2007, Dominic Dardel and Julian Kurtz founded this festival, an international piano festival dedicated to discovering, enjoying, and listening to the most outstanding amateur performers from all around the world. And it certainly has traveled from France to places like Brazil, China, Hungary, Russia, Argentina, Germany, and Morocco. And this year, it's the turn of South Africa, and more specifically Cape Town. And we're going to have the experience of between 20 and 30 pianists from South Africa and all over the world, with masterclasses by internationally known professionals and a vast repertoire as well. It's certainly something new and exciting. And with me in the studio is one of the founders, Julian Kurtz, who's also a professional concert pianist himself. Julian, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. This is a most unusual festival, and I just want to start at the beginning and tell me, back in 2007, how did you come up with this idea? Because one immediately thinks of a competition, doesn't one, of people coming out to win prizes. But this is a festival with a difference, an amateur festival, but obviously people who can play very well.
Yeah, we came up with this idea with my partner, my business partner, Dominic Dardel, as we met in a competition in Boston in 2007. And after we took part in this event, which was very nice, it lasted for 1 week, we figured that it was it had been an extremely stimulating and exciting week, but it was already over, and we thought it would be a great idea to gather all these amazing pianists together in another sort of event where they do not have to compete, because it's quite a different feeling to perform for the pleasure, for the sake of it, and to perform in front of a jury. So that's how the idea came out.
Was it purely that, just to get, I mean, as you know, obviously, as we all know, at a competition, there are a lot of very good pianists, but they're all competing. And then the winner is announced, and the second and the third, and then the others don't really get a chance. And this festival is going to be an outlet to listen to these good players without the pressures of a jury.
Yes, but still, of course, because as you said, it's a festival dedicated to outstanding amateur musicians. We needed to make a selection of the very finest ones. So the people we have been inviting over the last 10 years have all been finalists in such international competitions for amateur pianists. There are such competitions all over the world, in Paris, in Boston, in St. Petersburg, many other ones in the United States as well. And that's where we get the musicians from, mostly. And so all these people also are, of course, they are pianists, but they also have another job.
Oh, yes. They're not full-time touring concert pianists, for example.
No, of course not. We've got a lot of doctors, of lawyers, of teachers, of many different sorts of jobs which take them full-time. And so the music, whenever they have some spare time, or they wake up early in the morning to practice a little bit, or when they come back from work. So, yeah, they have sort of a double life.
Right. Mm. And is there an age restriction on the festival?
No, not. I mean, the age restrictions come from the competitions themselves, where you usually have to be at least sometimes 18 years old, sometimes 25, sometimes even 35. So it's people who already have had time to get started into their career. And so, yeah, our musicians are not below 18 whatsoever, but usually between 20 and up to 80 years old sometimes.
80, really?
Yes.
As long as...
Yes.
So what sort of response did you get when you launched your first festival? Was there a good deal of enthusiasm from these people?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I did know quite a few of them because I have been myself competing in these competitions, as I said before. And so I got to meet all these pianists from all over the world. And when we contacted them for the first time, they all wanted to take part and be part of the adventure.
Okay, and so your very first one in 2007 was a success and
yes,
gave you the impetus then to carry on.
Yes, absolutely. The first one was actually in 2008. The meeting with my business partner Dominic was in 2007, and we started the festival in Paris, in Radio France in Paris in 2008. And we had 15 pianists from Mexico, United States, Canada, Germany, France, etc., China. And that was actually a very good start. And then from that on, we made the project even bigger in France and all over the world.
And then did you, when the second one came along, obviously people knew about you, so then perhaps more and more people have been wanting to be part of this festival.
Yes, I do get applications quite regularly. It's taken a few years to get known by all this amateur community, but now, I mean, after 10 years, they know us, and so they also know the rules which we have set, that is to have been a finalist in such competitions. But we do get some applications from a lot of pianists, amateurs, and even sometimes from professionals to perform in the event.
Really?
Yes.
And is it the usual thing, they send you a recording so that you can hear what they sound like?
Yeah, well, they send links on YouTube links.
Oh, yes,
or
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
These sort of things. Yeah.
I have to keep up with technology. And then with the countries, you've been traveling all over the place. Do they invite you to come there, or do you think, I'm going to go to Brazil or China or Hungary and see if we can do a festival there, or are you invited?
No, I usually go to the country I decide, and then it depends on many different factors. I need to have, of course, some contacts in the countries, but you know, I'm building the community in the country where I'm going each time. And for example, we had a festival in China a few months ago. We had one already in 2010 in China as well. But so I'm working with a business partner in China. I did the same in every country where we went. We have usually one or several people to help us where we go.
Okay. Well, I want to find out how you came to Cape Town in South Africa. But before that, let's hear your first piece of music. Tell me what we're going to hear.
So yeah, I've chosen a piece by Gershwin, rearranged by American pianist Earl Wild. It's called The Man I Love. So it's one of Gershwin's songs. And for classical pianists like me, Gershwin is really a blessing, because it allows us to perform music that sounds like jazz, which is jazz, but it's all written, so we can play it. Otherwise, we couldn't do it. So I'm really grateful to Gershwin and a lot of other composers like him, and to have made this possible for us.
Is this, who's playing this?
It would be my own recording.
Ah, good. Here's Julian Kurtz. That's the music of Gershwin, that well-known song, The Man I Love. And it was played by Julian Kurtz in that arrangement by Earl Wild. Julian Kurtz is my guest on People of Note here on Fine Music Radio this week. He is one of the founders of a festival called Les Amateurs Virtuoses, which will be performed here in Cape Town, featured in Cape Town in November this year for the first time, as you heard, after having been to many parts of the world. But before we go back to the competition, Julian, you said something quite interesting, that Gershwin was a blessing for classical pianists because everything's written down. I mean, I suppose the two disciplines are so different, with the jazz pianists really relying purely on improvisation and classical pianists relying on the notes and interpreting them. So are you not really a jazz person? Are you strictly classical?
Well, yeah, I am, but because of my training as a classical pianist. But it doesn't mean I don't like jazz. I love jazz, but I don't have the skills to improvise. And yeah, as classical musicians, we get a very high level of technical ability, but we don't have the same freedom that jazz musicians have. And perhaps some jazz musicians don't have the same skills that we as a classical musician may have. So it's actually a few musicians are lucky enough to be playing both, and they can be exceptional performers. And as a purely classical pianist, it's really nice to have composers who made it possible for us to play this sort of music as well.
And to sound as though you're actually a jazz expert
and to make ourselves a little more free when we play these works.
It's interesting that you said the skill. I suppose it's all too easy to think that improvisation doesn't require the same skill as the technical stuff does, but which is wrong, isn't it? It's a wrong impression, that.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume so. I'm not an improviser, but I'm sure you've got to practice a lot and to work a lot before you can actually improvise. You cannot improvise improvisation, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. Right, now let's get back to, because I'm fascinated by this this festival that's happening from November the 10th to the 18th this year. Over 20 pianists from South Africa and all over the world will be here, and there'll be masterclasses as well. And how did you come to Cape Town, I was going to ask you? You've been elsewhere, but what was the connection for you to come to Cape Town?
My first contact with Cape Town was a little bit less than a year ago. Just came here on holidays, basically, and as I suppose most people who come here, I fell in love with this city very, very shortly after I arrived. And I thought it would be really a nice place to try and have an event. And I didn't know about the musical scene. And I found out that there was quite very active and high-level music life here. And I thought it would be nice to try and be part of it. So that's how I decided to export the festival here.
So what did you do while you were on holiday then? Did you then start looking around to meet people? Because I know that's how you and I met. You came to meet me to discuss this and a possible involvement with Fine Music Radio. And then I think you met a number of people who are involved in the classical music industry in Cape Town.
Yes, I did. Well, I came back a few months later with the purpose of starting organizing the event. And yeah, it was amazing how fast I got to meet, I think, the right people, and how much enthusiasm I met with when I was presenting the project to my partners here.
I was going to say, were they enthusiastic? Because, you know, sometimes it's all too easy to think, oh, not another competition, not another festival. We've got enough of our own, which we don't really. But anyway, were you received with enthusiasm?
Yes, yes. I mean, I cannot think of any one meeting which was not enthusiastic. So then we will see how it actually works during the festival next November. I'm hoping that the audience will be enthusiastic as well and will be coming, and there will be a big audience to join. But so far, I can tell that I've had a very good impression.
From your experience here in Cape Town.
Yes, yes.
One of the things that I see the festival is doing, you're not only in one venue, you're going to be moving around to various venues in the course of the festival, aren't you?
Yes, we are. So most concerts will be taking place in Baxter Hall, because we'll be partnering with the University of Cape Town, so it's right next door.
Yes, and it's a very good recital venue there.
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful acoustics, and they have a beautiful piano there. And we will also be performing one concert in Endless Hall in Stellenbosch, and our final concert will be taking place in City Hall with the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra.
Yes, they're on board as well, aren't they? The Cape Town Philharmonic is also enthusiastic, because I know you've met Louis Heineman, for example.
Yes, I have. And yeah, it's actually the biggest highlight of this event, and even I would say of the last 10 years. That's also what makes it so exciting for us to come to Cape Town, because as amateur musicians, the ultimate dream is to perform with an orchestra, and we really don't get that many chances to do that. And so it's really an extraordinary opportunity to do this here with an amazing orchestra.
Have you not used an orchestra before in the other festivals in other parts of the world?
Yeah, we've had one concert with orchestra.
So it is a bit of a highlight.
Yeah, yeah. It's happened only once in China a few months ago. So, but it's quite uncommon. And it wasn't such a big-scale orchestra and such a professional one.
Okay. Mm. Let's have another music choice. And Liszt, as a pianist yourself, I suppose Liszt has to be on the list, as it were.
Yes.
What have you chosen?
Liszt is really one of my favorite composers. He's the one I probably have performed the most in my life. And I chose the Hungarian Rhapsody No. 6. Which I performed long, long ago, and now I find it way too difficult to play it again, but it's a beautiful work.
I thought you were going to say, now you find it too easy.
No, I wouldn't say that, but it sounds easy under the fingers of Gzifra, who is going to play now.
Some virtuoso piano playing there, the Hungarian Rhapsody No. 6 by Liszt, played by Georgi Cifra, and another choice of my guest on People of Note this week, a concert pianist himself, Julian Kurtz, and we're talking about a piano festival which is going to be happening in Cape Town and Stellenbosch later this year, November, called Les Amateurs Virtuoses. And on the subject of virtuoses, Julian, if anyone can play that, then they are virtuoso pianists. I want to find out more about you and your background, because you're being very shy about your virtuosic approach to music, and clearly you are a hugely accomplished pianist from what I've read about you. So, and you started very young. So the old story, do you come from a music family or?
Not at all.
About
not
your
all.
Background?
No, I'm not from a music family, but I was offered the chance to start the piano when I was a young kid, because we were living in the countryside, a little far away from everything, and so basically my parents were looking for me to do something and to not to get bored. And that's how it started. And I was very lucky to have a very good piano teacher who lived just a few kilometers from our place. He was a teacher in the conservatory. And so that's how I got started. Yeah.
It says here that you started playing at the age of 5. Is that true?
It is true. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's when you started lessons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what happened after that? Was it soon clear that you were going to make being a pianist your career?
Well, no. I mean, actually, I have to say I'm not a professional pianist, because at first my profession was to be a teacher of social science and economics. And as all the musicians who are going to be invited in this festival, I did other things and other studies. And now I'm a full-time artistic director for this event, so which is also quite time-consuming. But
you still play the piano. You are still a performer.
Yeah, I do. I do perform quite regularly, and I'm trying to learn some new repertoire. That's my second life, is to be also a pianist in addition to an artistic director.
As you said, with these people who come to your festival, also the piano really is a second life for them.
Yes.
So this side of you, the economic and social sciences, which apparently you teach at high school, it must have been very difficult doing that, but at the same time winning piano competitions, because you've certainly won your fair share of competitions around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, of course it's difficult. I mean, to get ready for a piano competition is difficult whatsoever, but I think it's very stimulating for the brain to be learning music, piano, or whatever instrument, as at the same time as you're studying. And I think it makes us musicians perhaps more likely to be successful in our studies and in our professional careers. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at the musicians who are going to be playing here, usually they have quite good jobs, and it's not because they inherited those jobs, because they didn't. They have been pretty effective in their studies. Yeah. And I'm sure, and actually, I'm not only sure, studies have proved that being a musician stimulates the brain and makes you more likely to succeed.
Yes, that's famous, isn't it, that music has that sort of ability like mathematics to get your brain
yeah.
working.
And which is also why I think it's very, part of our event is to teach masterclasses. And so there's a whole educational part of our project, which to me seems very important because... I think not only for the sake of playing music, learning music is a quite an asset in people's life, and maybe now is the right time to also add that we will be partnering for this festival in Cape Town with a non-profit organization who teaches violin to kids from the townships. And I really admire very much this project, which is run by a woman named Maria Botta. And I think what she's doing for these kids is really amazing because she's giving them the opportunity to hopefully to get a better life and to develop their skills and to be later on when they will go to school and when they will study to be more successful.
Is this outreach program, is this to the non-profit thing, is this the first time you as a competition, as a festival, have got involved in that sort of thing, or have you done that in other countries as
no,
well?
No, it's the very first time.
Oh, okay, so a new angle to your festival and the activities.
So the kids, she's teaching to about 50, 60 kids who come from all over the townships around Cape Town, and they will be playing the opening of two of our concerts. So our opening night on November 10th in Baxter Hall, and another concert which we will be giving in Langa Cultural Center.
Okay. So it gives them publicity as well. It gives them a chance to be up on stage.
Yes, absolutely.
With
yes.
the sort of audience that goes to these festivals.
Yes, it's a very extraordinary opportunity for them to finally to get to show what they've been doing and learning over the last few months.
Now, I've discovered, and this I think has to do with your next piece of music, that you also enjoy playing chamber music.
Yes,
being part of a chamber music group.
I do very much, although I haven't done it enough so far, but each time I've had a chance to play chamber music, it's really been a great pleasure because when you are on stage with other musicians, it's a lot less stress.
I'm sure.
And it's actually a lot more enjoyment. And you have the score because you need to be playing together, so there is no problem of memory. You're just here for music and for sharing music together. So yeah, that's why I chose this piece of music, which I haven't played, but I'm hoping to learn it someday. It's Schubert Trio No. 2, and Schubert is also one of my very favorite composers. He has a different approach to time as other composers. Its works usually last very long. You have to get into them. But once you're into his music, you really can't get out of it. It's amazing.
Thank you. there we have to leave that beautiful music, part of the Andante of the Piano Trio No. 2 by Schubert, and a choice again of my guest Julian Kurtz, himself a pianist, but also one of the directors of Les Amateurs Virtuoses, a festival, a piano festival, which for the first time is taking place in Cape Town in November, from November the 10th to the 18th this year. Julian, one of the things, as you mentioned just now, that's interesting about this festival is that you're using masterclasses as well, using some of our famous pianists, François de Toy, Nina Schumann, Luis Magalhães, and many others who have they easily agreed to take part.
Yes, absolutely. They have been immediately quite enthusiastic about this project and willing to take part in it. So I'm very delighted we can have them teach in the festival. And I'm sure they will have a lot to learn from them as amateur musicians.
Absolutely.
And there will be, of course, some other masters to teach masterclasses from France and probably from other countries as well, but I'm still finding out who will come.
One of the big questions that I can't resist asking you, although it's that vulgar subject of money, what do you do about sponsorship? Surely you need massive sponsorship for something like this.
Well, I wouldn't say we need massive sponsorship, because the specificity of this very event, which features mostly amateur musicians, is that by definition amateurs don't get paid for performing. But of course, there are lots of costs involved in such an event. So, yeah, finding sponsors is part of the job, and it's one of the reasons why I'm here in South Africa. So it's a challenge. Every year it's a challenge. We have various partners, and we don't have one partner to follow us on several editions. So each time we've got to find some new ones.
Okay. And may I ask you, so far, although we are recording this interview in the middle of March, so mm-hmm. it's a long way to the actual festival, but what sort of success are you having? Are you feeling encouraged?
I'm having some encouraging discussions, but I'm still waiting for confirmations. And still looking for sponsors.
Okay,
yes.
But one of the things, I know you've got pamphlets out and they're available around the place and certainly here at Artscape and elsewhere. You've got a very clever little scheme here, become a sponsor, and you've used some of our animals, a gold weaver bird, an antelope, a zebra, a hippo, going up until the biggest one is, of course, the elephant, and then the rhinoceros in between as well. This is encouraging private people, perhaps, to contribute.
Yeah.
Is that a private new or idea?
Yes, it was my idea. Private people or companies, if for people who would pay taxes in France or French companies, we have a system of tax deduction, which I think also exists in South Africa, but as a French organization, this would only apply to French donors. But of course, we're looking into any sort of sponsor we can find, even, of course, from South Africa.
Of course. Mm. And do you get any enthusiasm, help, assistance from the French government, the Consul General or anything local, or not?
I'm waiting for more details from them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Moving on swiftly, they say. But I'm sure people will come to the party because it's new and it's exciting and it's different. I think the very fact that it's different as well, by the way, mm-hmm. makes this competition quite exciting. I, for one, am looking forward to it, because just to be able to go and watch something that is not a competition, where there's not a jury and you're not wondering who's going to win, but you're listening to pianists who are of competition quality. It's going to be unique.
Yes, of course. And I mean, and it's also, they are all very accessible, and it's quite nice. We've had a lot of feedback from the audience in the past festivals who came. First of all, they discovered artists whom they didn't know, because by definition, these amateur musicians cannot be famous. They are amateurs. Then they also had a talk with them and talked about their professional lives and how they can combine professional life and music and family life and all this together. And we've had a lot of very positive feedback from people who actually resumed learning the piano after a break of 20 or 30 years because they've seen it was possible. And so it's been quite an incentive for them to go back to music. So that's actually one of the main points of this festival. We want people to get enthusiastic about it and to play.
What a brilliant idea. What a brilliant idea. Let's have another piece of music. But now, once again, I see you can't resist a little bit of jazz, Julian.
Yes, of course. I mean, now it's real jazz. And I was thinking that one of my favorite pianists, jazz pianists, is Errol Garner. And I really appreciate very much his Misty song, which I believe was composed when he was traveling on a plane. So he had this melody in his mind and he just came out with it. And when he landed, I think he was in Chicago. I'm not too sure about the city, but when he landed, he actually got the music in his mind and his fingers, and that's how it came out.
Gosh. And it's quite a famous piece. It's one of Errol Garner's more famous pieces.
It is. It sounds like If You Are in the Air, indeed.
Yes. Misty by Errol Garner. Thank you. think I can say that, something of a classic, Misty by Errol Garner, played by Errol Garner as well, and that was the choice of Julian Kurtz, a guest here on People of Note on Fine Music Radio, and as I've been telling you, one of the founders of the festival Les Amateurs Virtuoses, which is coming to Cape Town in November. How, incidentally, just listening to that and your love of jazz that we discussed earlier, is there a restriction on repertoire in this particular festival? Is it strictly classical?
No, it doesn't have to be. Well, it just happens to be, because, as I said before, musicians who play classical music often don't really know how to play jazz, even though they may like to. And I don't know of amateur pianists who can play jazz to a performance level. They probably are around, but I don't know them. So, yeah, most concerts, if not all concerts, will be classical music. And because they have other professional occupations and because they have very busy lives, I don't want to give them too much pressure on the repertoire, so they are free to perform whatever they like. Sometimes there's a theme. In 2011, it was a bicentenary of Liszt birth, so we decided everyone should play some Liszt. It depends, but for this Cape Town edition, there might be an emphasis on French music because this year is a 100th year of Debussy's death, and because we are French projects as well. But it will be mostly left to their own choice.
Okay. So you don't stipulate, like, you must play a classical piece, a romantic piece,
a modern piece? No. That would be a competition spirit, which we don't want to have.
Yes. Mm. That's important in this. You've mentioned it right at the beginning. It's not a competition spirit. There's no jury. There's no pressure.
No.
It is a festival in the true sense of the word.
Yeah.
And that's why, Julian, you've corrected me a few times, and we've been doing some editing, where I call it a competition.
Yes.
And it is emphatically not a competition.
No, it's not. And, I mean, when you meet all these musicians, they, after 10 years, they've met each other quite a few times. They are friends, absolutely not in a competition spirit. And that's what we wanted to create with this festival also.
How do you get? Do you have to pay for them to come out if they're people from overseas?
We try to at least be able to pay for the airfares and accommodation when we can. So that's you were asking me about the sponsors and all these things. Yeah. So that's what we need sponsors for.
Okay. Yeah. And then for local pianists, the pianists from South Africa who are going to take part. How are you going to advertise the fact that this is happening? Well, you'll be speaking presumably to universities and various places. Presume, well, apart from this interview, there will be...
I think all of our partners are going to advertise widely about the event. We are going to collaborate closely with the UCT and Baxter. So that's one partner. Also, Stellenbosch University and Endless Hall. And the CPO is going to... I think to advertise quite a lot about this final concert, which is a big event for us, but for them too. So, I mean, it's in everyone's interest to make it a big event, and I'm sure it will be.
Yeah. But it'll be quite interesting. There will be a concerto or two, presumably, with the orchestra.
Actually, more than that. It's going to be quite a big evening. There will be six pianists on stage.
Good heavens.
But we cannot perform six concertos. It would be way too long. So there would be the first movement of the first Chopin concerto to open the evening. Then the first movement of Tchaikovsky, number one concerto as well. And then Rhapsody in Blue, Gershwin again. Then a little break, and then the second part will be Prokofiev concerto number one, which is a short concerto. Yeah. And we will finish with Poulenc two piano concerto with a Canadian amateur pianist, who is a dentist also. And on the second piano, François Dutoy will be performing.
Right. Yes. That is quite a program.
Gosh. Yes, it's going to be very exciting.
It's a program that's very popular. It's one way of ensuring that you get the people to come.
I'm hoping
and
that.
Book
yeah,
their
I'm
tickets.
Very much hoping that.
Gosh, with a program like that, my goodness. I always ask my guests at this late stage in the interview to get away from the subject briefly, what you do to relax. I know that you're very busy. This festival clearly keeps you very, very busy. Are you an outdoor person? Do you go into restaurants, or what do you do?
Yeah, I like the good things in life. So, I mean, I like good food, for example, of course. And every time I have a chance, I go for hikes, and I love nature. That's my, actually, chronologically speaking, I think it would even be my first passion in life, is to discover animals, plants, nature.
Have you been doing a bit of that here in South Africa? Some of the
hikes
on the mountains?
It's fascinating. That's one reason why I really love this country and love coming back here, because there's so much to see and it's so different from what we have in Europe. And yeah, it's It's marvelous.
I'm very chuffed, and I'm sure a lot of people are, that you've chosen Cape Town, South African Cape Town, for your festival this year. And I'm certainly looking forward to it. Let me just give the dates again. The 10th of November to the 18th of November, the Piano Festival, Les Amateurs Virtuoses. How do people get hold of you if they want to find out more or any details or indeed enter? Have you got a website address?
We've got a website, so I would just suggest to go on any research engine and type Amateur Virtuose Piano Festival, and that will lead directly to our website, and there's a contact.
A contact detail there to get hold of you.
Yeah, and I will be answering personally.
Okay. And if you missed any of that, you can always call us here at Fine Music Radio, and I'll give you the details.
We also have a Facebook page, which people can follow, and there will be information coming up as the event comes closer.
Okay, excellent. And we'll talk to you again here at Fine Music Radio as the event comes closer. On your pamphlet that you've got here, you've got a quote from Nelson Mandela, which I'd like to read. He says, "Music is a great blessing. It has the power to elevate and liberate us. It sets people free to dream. It can unite us to sing with one voice. Such is the value of music."
Yes.
A very nice quote to put on your flyer.
Yes. Symbolically, we've been also very happy to be here in 2018, which is a very important anniversary, because I think it's the 100th anniversary of Nelson Mandela.
We're
very happy to be here.
Everything
now
is in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. I've been talking to Julian Kurtz, who is one of the directors of the piano festival Les Amateurs Virtuoses. Thanks, Julian.
Thank you very much.
People of Note is brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions.
Don't miss The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night Time, presented by Peter Turin. From the best-selling novel comes this multi-award-winning play, directed by Paul Warwick Griffin, with an unforgettable cast including Kai Brummer, Lesoho Siabe, Ashley Dowds, Kate Normington, Nicholas Ellenbogen, Liz Simchak, Jenny Stead, Jenna Galloway, Dylan Eady, and Clayton Evertson. Embark on this extraordinary life-changing journey, making its South African debut at the new Theatre on the Bay, September 25. Book now at peterturin.co.za.